As you can tell, or maybe you can tell, our topic tonight will be on prayer. But before we get into Matthew chapter 7, I don't know why I'm grabbing the wrong sheet here. Before we get into Matthew chapter 7, we're going to go over our verse for the month of, our verses actually for the month of June. We've had two that we're doing this month, and so we're just going to do Romans 12 verses 14 and 15. And we haven't, we had a little break from this, so I hope that it hasn't escaped your memory. We're going to try just saying this together. So if you can, say it with me. Romans 12, 14 and 15. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Amen. Thank you, church, for joining me in our verse for the month. Would you also now turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter number 7. As we have been going through the Sermon on the Mount, it's been, I think it's been a few weeks since I've been with you on a Wednesday night. Last week I was out of town, and so I thank Brother Tim Pauley for filling in, and the week before that, Alan and I had switched places, so I think it's been a little while, but we are getting back into Matthew chapter number 7. If I asked you this evening, what is the golden rule? If somebody would say, what is the golden rule? Can anybody answer that? What is the golden rule? All right, everybody who said it, you did a great job. It's kind of like the thumper rule, isn't it? Or do unto others as you would have them do to you, all right? Today we're looking at both the golden rule and prayer. Now, it may seem a little odd if your Bible breaks it down like mine. Mine actually just does Matthew 7, 7 through 11. And then it starts another verse or another section on the golden rule. We're actually going to be Matthew 7, 7 through 12, because I really believe that verse 12 goes with verses 7 through 11. So follow along with me as I read aloud. Matthew 7, beginning in verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. And we have now been in our message on the Sermon on the Mount. We've had several of them. I forget the count, but I know we're up in the teens. And as we've been hearing these messages, perhaps you have thought to yourself, it is impossible for one person to keep all of these commands. It is difficult to not judge. It's difficult to be the salt and the light and not respond in anger or not be a hypocrite. And so you look at it and say, this is impossible to keep all of these commands and teachings. And honestly, I believe that's the point. That as Jesus is giving this message, the point is that as try as you might, as much effort you put into it, the conclusion is, my own human effort, I can't do this. I can't live the Christian life. But we need to trust God to live the Christian life. The last time we were in this passage, we looked at chapter 7, verses 1 through 6, and how Christ spoke on not condemning other people and not harboring a bitterness or a hatred as we judge. And we were told that we need to remove the log out of our own eye before we remove the splinter out of somebody else's. And as we consider this, Christ has put this very high standard on us. And to the point that we look at it and one can only respond with humility. And then feeling, I am utterly hopeless. I am helpless. and say, how can I live the Sermon on the Mount? How can anybody meet such a standard? That's exactly what Christ wants from us. He wants us to see that we are utterly helpless and we have a real need for God, a real need for Him to help us live the human life. So I believe this sermon is really meant to crush any pride, any boasting we might have, in order for us to understand that we depend on the grace of God. We depend on His life. A missionary and former president of a college, Robert McQuilkin, he says this: why are we so weak and impotent? Why have we watched in our lifetime as the number of lost people has increased geometrically? Are we not weak in impact for God because we are weak in time spent with God? You see, God answers, or God promises to answer our prayers. And so in light of this, as we consider our own weakness, our own failures, and that God gives us this avenue of prayer, how should we respond? And that's what I want to look at tonight. So we begin in verse 7 and 8. I want us to look at what we can call the supernatural way. The supernatural way. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. As we begin and we look here at verse number 7, we see this command to ask. Seek and you will find. Knock and it'll be open to you. What we're looking at is the Christian life is impossible to live in our own strength. What is demanded is a supernatural power, one that only comes from God. Jesus Christ, He knows this, and as He's beginning to talk in this section, He's telling His disciples, His followers, and He's teaching about prayer. This discipleship needs prayer. A disciple has to be involved in prayer. Prayer is not a means of appropriating God's power, it is the means of appropriating God's power to live the Christian life. It is not just a ritual. It's not just expressing with fancy words or big words. It is really communing with God. It is looking outside of ourselves and seeking help from the Lord. A prayer is really a genuine cry of our souls, one that realizes that God must work, that we are dependent on God. Someone once said, any victory that I presently experience in my Christian life is somehow related to prayer. When I get up in the mornings and ask God to help me get things done, do the housework, be patient with the children, and all the other things I have to do, God always helps me. You know, I know this is true in my experience. I don't know about you, but I don't every day live that way. There are days where I can go for a long time and I sit there and go, boy, I haven't even prayed today. One of the things I learned growing up, before we would ever go on a trip, as we would get in the van and we're about to go on a family trip, my dad would always stop and pause and we would pray before we ever get on the trip. And I remember on my most recent trip, we were about getting ready. I was pulling out, hadn't prayed, and I said, you know what? God knows. We'll be okay. I'm trusting in God. But you know what kept nagging at me? Matt, what if you break down or something happens and you're sitting there going, man, if I just prayed to God. Now, that's not a promise that my car won't break down. It's broken down many times on trips, all right? But it illustrates the importance of prayer. How quickly we forget to pray. And why is it? It's because unbelief is a strong force in our lives. You say, but I do believe. Well, it constantly comes out us. We begin to think, I can live life apart from God. It's just a little trip. The car's in good shape. I had it in the shop. But friends, we can't live without God. It's why prayer is so important. And as we look at this verse here, when it's saying, judge not that you be, I'm sorry, I went back too far. Verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened. And these are commands that are, it's an imperative in the present tense in the Greek. And meaning, when you ask, it's saying, ask, yes, but keep on asking. Seek, yes, but keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. It's about a persistence and perseverance in prayer. Do it and do it often and keep doing it. Continually asking God for strength, for power, for grace to live the Christian life. There is no time where you ever arrive to a point that you don't need God and you don't need prayer. We always need and depend on prayer and depend on God. In fact, I believe God's word really commands us to do this throughout scriptures because we don't naturally do it. We are encouraged to pray. We are admonished to pray when we are weak and when we struggle. It's a very good spiritual discipline that we need in our lives, prayer. And it should be a constant thing. And so we see these words, ask, seek, and knock. All of these are verbs that we need to keep doing this. And when you persistently pray like this, notice what it says. As you look at it, it finishes, and it will be open to you. Seek, and you will find. Ask, and it will be given to you. For everyone who asks, receives. The idea is when you do these things, the asker receives. John Piper said it that way. The asker receives, the seeker finds, the knocker gets an open door. Your Father will give you good things. God wants you to pray. If we really want to be men and women of God, if we really want to know Him, if we want to walk with Him, we want to walk for Him, and we want to experience His blessings that He provides for us, then guess what? We need to be asking and going Him every day in prayer. But there has to be a hunger and thirst for such things. I believe there are sincere Christians who believe we should only ask God only once for something. I remember I had a guest speaker in chapel. He says, you pray for it one time and never pray for it again. Friends, this is saying ask and keep asking. Keep knocking. Keep going to God. There's a persistence here. We are encouraged that we keep going to God and depending on God. Repeated prayers are not because God's reluctant to give to us, but it really shows an eagerness or dependence. God, I really need you. God, we really need you. Reminding God of our needs, not that He forgets. I was thinking the other day, I believe it was yesterday, there was this salesman who came to my house. It was evening, he came by, it was a pest control guy, and I tell you what, he was persistent. He really wants to go. He says, do you need him? I'm like, no, we got somebody. Well, I don't see these little things out in the yard. I'm like, that's okay. And he's like, oh, but you got neighbors. I'm like, that's okay. He just kept going. You know, by the end of it, I almost wanted to say, okay, I'll let you go through and give me a quote. You know, that persistent coming. When they show and they come back again and again, yes, it may annoy you. But then also you see that perseverance. I'm like, you know, this guy's really determined. This guy really means it. Yeah, I see his eagerness, his intention. And don't think that we're annoying God. God wants us to eagerly keep praying. He wants us to show, I really mean this. So if we consider that. Now what does it say in verse number 8? Verse number 8, as we looked, everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be open. This is a promise that's for every one of Christ's disciples. And notice it doesn't say that it's only for a few. It doesn't say it's only for a select group. But it's for everyone who is a disciple of God. Everyone who belongs to the kingdom of God. So it says for everyone. Those who are followers of Christ. Is this a promise of a blank check that you get whatever you want? No. It's not me going up there and saying, God, I want a Lamborghini and asking every day. I just don't see God caring if I have a Lamborghini or not. But notice the context. As we consider what is being asked in here, as we consider what has been going on in this entire sermon, it's asking prayer for strength. It's asking prayer to live out the walk that Jesus has been speaking of. He's saying, look, if you don't want to judge others, you want to live right, ask God. If you don't want to be hypocritical, you don't want to be like these Pharisees, ask God. If you want to deal with loving enemies, you want to deal with laying up treasures in heaven, not on earth, you want to deal with not having the anger issues, ask God and keep asking, God, would you teach me? God, would you show me? And God has given Christians, as we look in Scripture, we can consider other passages that tell us such things. 1 John 5:14 tells us that we should ask according to God's will. And James 4:3 tells us, ye ask and receive not because you ask amiss. And so the idea is that selfish prayers are not answered. So the promise then is for what are the things that God desires to live a holy life, to be faithful, to follow his word. And so as we get this, there's a promise that when we ask according to God's word, we ask according to his will for the prayer for strength and grace to live the Christian life, that God answers that prayer. What a wonderful truth. You can trust in God at this. Each and every day to live right for him. It means the world. Perhaps some of you might be saying, well, I ask God to make me more holy and desire a Christian life, but I don't see any visible results. In fact, it seems that I have more conflict than before. I've heard that recently. A gentleman I know is saying, man, I'm trying to live right. I'm praying and I'm just struggling. It seems I'm doing worse. I've actually heard it from multiple people of late. Perhaps God doesn't answer. Maybe we're not asking right. Maybe we're not asking enough. We need to keep going. I don't know the answer, but we see that God promises. And even if we don't see the results right away, we can know that God is working and God is able. We need to trust God to answer these prayers. And so we look first this evening. We looked at, I got to get back there. We have a supernatural way as we are praying to God. Secondly, I want us to look that we also not only have a supernatural way we get to pray, but it's a supernatural source. Look at verses 9 through 11. Or which one of you, if a son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? It's an interesting illustration here. As Jesus, he is teaching, he starts to use an illustration of a father and a son. And he's really helping us to understand our relationship with God, our Heavenly Father. He says, think of a loving Heavenly Father who is giving spiritual gifts to his children. And he gives us this beautiful picture, this analogy here. The point as we look through here, we see several things. As he's saying, if the son asks for bread, what father gives him a stone? You know, Liam, if you ever met Liam, Krista always keeps Hawaiian sweet rolls at the house. Liam is picky. And at times, Liam decides he doesn't want to eat much of dinner. He might just nibble. So Krista, she always keeps Hawaiian sweet rolls because she says, I don't want my baby to starve. And she knows he'll eat those sweet rolls. What mom or dad is going to, if Liam's asking for bread, is going to give him a stone? Of course we're going to say, we wouldn't do that. It's the picture of a Heavenly Father. Our Father is not going to trick us. He's not going to deceive us. When you ask for bread, he gives you a stone. You ask for fish, he gives you a snake. It's something that might hurt you. He's not going to do that. He's not going to trick you. He's not going to deceive you. He's not going to fool you. And why? Because God is gracious. He doesn't ever give you something that is for your bad. He does things for your good. And even God's word tells us that he disciplines those he loves because it is for your good. He gives good things. He gives wonderful things. He doesn't ever give evil. He doesn't give you anything that's going to lead you astray. He's not going to give something that's going to hurt you. You can trust that God will always do what is best for you. The point is, it is not prayer that meets our need. It is God who meets the need. It is God who is doing the good. And God is this supernatural source for the living the Christian life. That's why we pray, because we're praying to the one who will always do good. And so it even gives a further illustration. He gives the illustration then in verse number 11. If you then who are evil, okay, what it's getting at is he compares our heavenly Father with even sinful human fathers. Perhaps one who hasn't done right, who hasn't done good things, who's not a follower of God. And the point is, here are men who are basically evil. They are sinners. They're not following God, but even they do good things for their children. How many can we think of? They'll dote on their kids. They give them wonderful gifts. And the idea is, you have a heavenly Father who is not evil, who is perfect. How much better will he do than even a sinful human father does? Our Father loves with an unchanging, perfect love. And now, the good things that he does, when it says, your Father who is in heaven gives good things to those who ask him, the idea here, it's, again, these gifts to live the Christian life. The gifts that will bring sanctification, that makes us nearer to God. If we seek holiness, God teaches and gives holiness. If we pray, and we're praying for the things of the Lord, God provides. And now, this is a very difficult verse for some. Especially if somebody would say, there have been beliefs in the past that say, you know, not everybody's evil. We're not we don't see this. And the idea is, all men are evil. Notice as it said there, it says, if you then who are evil. Christians, God is even saying, we're evil. We are sinners. And we do good things. How much more does God do? We still sin, but we have a good God who provides exactly what we need. Well, we looked at the supernatural way, a supernatural source. And then finally in verse 12, I want us to see a supernatural life. Verse 12 says, so whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Now this, at first it seems, how does this fit? It almost doesn't seem to belong. So, but give me a moment and then I'll get there how it fits. This statement is the one we talked about at the beginning. It's the golden rule. It's what many refer to. Even in my Bible, it says right above verse 12, the golden rule. As we consider this, it is a very well-known, even outside of Christian circles. Did you know that many religions have a similar statement? Just wanted to read some of them. Ours says, whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. But notice some of these other ones. The Hillel, it says, what thou wouldest not wish for thyself, do not unto thy neighbor. This is the whole law. Notice that the Bible is a positive. This one was a negative. What you wish that they would not do to you, don't do. Socrates said, what stirs your anger when done to you by others, that do not do to others. Aristotle, we should bear ourselves towards others as we desire they should bear themselves towards us. Confucius says, what you do not want done to yourself, do not do to others. And you see, other religions have a similar statement, but theirs is in the negative. God's word here is in the positive. It's saying, hey, you need to think that this is a positive thing, that you desire to do good to others, that you desire to not harm them. We are to actively pursue the good of others. Where other religions say, if you don't want them to hurt you, don't hurt them. And this one is speaking more of your heart and your desire. Seek the good in others. Desire to do good to others. Love others. Care for others. And think of the best for others. And so at first glance, it doesn't seem to fit. Verse 12 doesn't seem connected. But I believe, once again, John Piper is helpful here. He says, when you look at verse 12, it says, so, maybe your translation says, therefore, whether it's so or therefore, it's pointing back to the things that come before. So John Piper says, the word so at the beginning of verse 12 implies three things. One, that you can't live the golden rule, treat others the way you would like to be treated, without experiencing the truths of verse 7 through 11. You notice what he's saying? You can't treat others right if you aren't in prayer and dependence on God. He adds, that is, without the deep confidence that your Father will give you every good thing you really need. Second, that if you really experience the truth of verses 7 through 11, the assurance that your Heavenly Father meets all your needs, you will have the inner freedom and impulse to live the golden rule. But when we are depending on God, you have a freedom and desire to live for the to do good to others. A third one, the reason the golden rule fulfills the law and prophets is that it assumes the love of verse 12 is flowing from faith in the work of Jesus Christ to ransom us by his blood and secure for us God's mercy and everlasting fatherhood. He's saying all of that is implied in just the word so. If you're going to do good to others, if you really treasure your Heavenly Father, if you really desire that you can live for others and do good, you also have to rely on God in prayer. If you want to treat others right, and if you truly love God, you're going to depend on God to do this. And so the golden rule here is really a beautiful idea, but it's also a very difficult thing to put into practice. In fact, to practice it, we have to think in a supernatural way, depending on a supernatural source, to live this supernatural life. What a high standard. Do to others as we would have them do to us. It's a high standard that we need God's grace to fulfill. And how do we do it? We need to go to God in prayer. Only as we pray are we able to live this way. And he finishes verse 12 with saying, for this is the law and the prophets. It meaning this is the Old Testament summed up. Old Testament brought together. We need God. We need prayer. Why can't all men fulfill the golden rule? Well, because we're evil. We're sinners. Sin keeps us from doing to others as we would have others do to you. It's a sin of selfishness. It's a sin of not looking to do what is right. Only those who have been changed by God on the inside can do this. And it depends God to change us. We're dependent on God to change us. We're dependent on that new birth. We're dependent on him to mold us and to shape us and to teach us and guide us in this way. We need God. Perhaps we know of Christians who aren't living out this way, this golden rule. But friends, that's no excuse for us not to. We depend on God each and every day. We need his power to live this life and to fulfill what we see here in the Sermon on the Mount. And by God's grace and by God's power, you Christian can walk by faith. You Christian can fulfill this golden rule. You can fulfill all these commands that are given. So as we finish tonight, here's what we need to do. You need to ask and keep on asking. You need to seek and keep on seeking. You need to knock and keep on knocking because you need him each and every day. So keep praying. I say that tonight, let's have a word of prayer, but And then we'll talk and how this is important especially. So let's pray for a moment. Lord, tonight we come to you as we do on Wednesdays in dependence on prayer, whether if it's our sickness, whether it's issues in our families and homes, or Lord, even with VBS coming up, Lord, we depend on prayer. And so we ask of you, Lord, that you would teach us and guide us, that you would help us to be people of prayer. Lord, we don't know what to pray, but your word tells us the Holy Spirit utters prayers for us. So Lord, may we be people of prayer and depend on you, both what to say, what to ask for, and how to live each and every day. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This, I want to share that even this Sunday, we're going to speak once again on prayer Sunday evening. I'm going to do things a little different on Sunday evening. I'm still shaping how exactly it'll look, but we're going to be in the book of Colossians as we look into prayer, and then we're going to have a time on Sunday evening praying specifically for VBS. I fully believe in VBS and several reasons. One, we often do see decisions made. It's something that we pour a lot of time and effort into as we get people who probably never come to church outside of VBSs in their community. We're trying to reach kids, we're trying to reach adults, and so as we'll have a long week next week, Monday through Friday, we're going to be tired, we're going to be exhausted. We need God to give us strength and energy, and so we're going to shape the service a little different Sunday night, and we're going to have a time of prayer specifically, but I hope you'll be praying even the rest of this week for our VBS program for various needs, for the preparation, for the kids, for the workers, for adults, and for the messages going forth. So if you would pray for that, even for the health of those involved. Last year, I'm pretty sure right after VBS, it seemed half the church had COVID. And so we're praying that God would protect us from such things. And so we'll be praying for VBS. Brother Kenny Kidd, it's a pleasure to see you. Keep praying for Brother Kenny and his leg. How are you feeling today, brother? All right. We keep praying for you and your health, brother. So keep praying for Kenny Kidd. I also want to add on there, yeah, many of you know Jared and Josie. They're often here on Wednesdays. Their little girl, Maddie, she is sick. She has an ear infection and teething, and so she's just a grumpy little girl right now, which is hard to believe. She is the quietest little thing. But if you'll pray for their daughter, Maddie. Also for Jared's Aunt Marie, she's having some significant health needs, and Jared had called me, letting me know why they couldn't be here tonight, but asking if we'd pray for his Aunt Marie and as well as their daughter. So if you would remember them. Also, if you're wondering, if you don't see my kids tonight, Gavin has had strep throat, but he is doing much better. He actually could eat chicken nuggets tonight. So I didn't have him put on there as he has been improving. But there are other prayer requests and praises even this evening. Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, brother. In case you couldn't hear, Brother Mike shared 43 years, right? 43 years today, this hour for Mike and Kelly. You got married late in the evening. All right. So praise the Lord. We love praises. Reason to rejoice. Others this evening. Brother Carl. Okay.